Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Changing their life forever so they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Say hello to our good friend Tom Korski, the executive editor of BlackLock's Reporter at Minding Ottawa on Twitter. Minding Ottawa, that's a hell of a job.
But it just
occurred to me as I said that. It's minding cats, herding cats would be easy by comparison.
Oh, funny.
How are you seeing this whole issue about China's interference in our 2019 and 2021 elections and the public response and the prime minister's, should we call it, obstinate decision to not support a public inquiry?
I think this issue got away from cabinet, and it was a bad mistake. Maybe they didn't have a choice, but they handled this one very badly. I don't care about who's hot, who's not. We don't do that. This is very far-reaching. This is the problem, Roy. By the way, just a little inside baseball, in case you find this interesting. What happened was the committee voted, House Affairs Committee voted 6-5, to recommend to the House that there be a public inquiry. That's it. There's nothing to argue about anymore. The boat's in the water. That committee report is going to go to the House. Commons is back this week, starting tomorrow, back from recess. There will be an opposition MP say, I move concurrence with the committee report, and then it's on the line, my friend. You will stand or fall on that vote, and the opposition, three main opposition parties in this case, have enough votes to pass it. It doesn't really matter what the Prime Minister thinks. What do we know for sure, Roy? We know that very serious people made very credible allegations of monkey business in those two elections. We know those complaints went to the equivalent of the police department, whether it was Canadian Security Intelligence Service, whether it was this task force with the Privy Council appointed by cabinet, whatever. And we know that they did nothing. And we know that when they're asked in parliamentary committee, why didn't you call? Why wouldn't you tell the world? They start to stare at their shoes and say, well, I don't know. What do you? Was there smoke? Was there fire? It doesn't inspire confidence. There will be an inquiry. It will last 2 years. It will be unbelievable, right?
And if you support the inquiry, and if you challenge the prime minister, and if you quote that committee, and Michael Cooper was on the program with us earlier today, who, of course, is a member of the committee, Conservative Party, then you're accused of taking cheap shots at Justin Trudeau. I don't understand how the logic circuits in the brain can so badly misfire in such a fundamental manner.
Well, politics is, you know this, Roy, it's full of jib-jab. I mean, there's no end to it. People like, it's like hockey. They like to do, when the linesman's looking the other way, you like to give someone a face wash in the corner. Well, that's all very fine and good. But in the meantime, there's going to be inquiry with a judge, compelling documents, and swearing in witnesses under threat of perjury. It's happening.
You know, I said earlier, Tom, that people are adamant they want the inquiry, and I understand, and I want it too. But keep in mind, as you just said, this isn't an overnight situation. This isn't something where you start the inquiry on Monday, and by Wednesday or Thursday, you have the report in front of the Canadian people. We're talking about several years. It could be following. I mean, the next federal election could already be passed by the time the report ever sees the light of day.
Well, it may, but my 2 cents, this is just my 2 cents, Roy. I think this is going to be a widowmaker, and I'll tell you why. It's not even who testifies. Is so-and-so going to testify? What are they going to testify? Because you know media is going to be all over that. I could care less. It's the documents. It's just like the Public Order Emergency Commission. Their documents are incredible because these people are compulsive emailers and texters. Mm-hmm. And you will see in real time what they were saying about Don Valley North, about what they were saying about Stevenson, Richmond, B.C., what about this candidate, what about that guy, and you will be able to actually document, you can see the footprints in the snow. That's the gold. That I'm telling you, in our business, that is Christmas. Because when you can find out what powerful people were thinking in real time, not what they say after the fact, you've really got something.
Yeah. Kenny Chu was with us earlier today as well, the Steveston former Conservative Member of Parliament. He's not announcing whether, he wouldn't tell us whether he's going to run again, but I would be surprised if he doesn't. And it would be very interesting to observe how China responds, what Beijing would do as far as challenging Mr. Chu is concerned. He told us that as recently as 3 days ago, there were accusations against him in Vancouver media. So, yeah, this is going to be quite the circus. And I don't mean that.
Get it out, Roy. Got to do it in the middle of the town square in broad daylight. They have to get it out. Absolutely.
Yeah they do.
So I've been off for a couple of weeks. I'm just going to reference a couple of things that you had on Blacklocks that caught my attention. And this one really just made me jump out of my chair. February 27th, public swearing of an oath of allegiance to Canada, a legal requirement for 76 years, will end on July the 1st. Clicking a box on a government website? Good enough. No, it isn't. That just really irritates me.
Sad. I'll tell you what, it was interesting what happened. The Department of Immigration found it created a problem, which is frankly an unbelievable problem. And then they came up with a remedy that was even worse. You know what the problem was? It is a legal requirement. By the way, there's case law on that. It's no joke. Federal judges ruled on that. You can pay your $630 fee to take your citizenship test as a landed immigrant. You can pass the test. If you do not take that oath publicly before a public office holder, holding your right hand at shoulder height, and announcing that you pledge allegiance to your king, your constitution, and country, you are not a citizen. What happened? The Department of Immigration ran up a 2-year backlog. Can you imagine? They had a 2-year backlog of citizens who paid their fee, passed their test, wanted to take the oath, which takes approximately 30 seconds, and they had a backlog. Well, you say, what's the remedy? Well, Roy, you and I could solve this in 15 minutes. All you do is deputize 3,000 mayors, municipal reeves, county commissioners, and every town, village, and hamlet in Canada. You say, July 1st, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have the biggest swearing-in in Canadian history, 300,000. Come one, come all. The band from the high school, people are going to be crying and laughing. It's going to be beautiful. No, what did they do? They said, I know. Why don't we have a click box on a website? Well, we saw this in legal notices, and the fur has hit the fan. And if the immigration minister, Mr. Fraser, Sean Fraser from Nova Scotia, is half the politician I think he is, he will kill it dead.
Yeah. Well, there was something I was going to say that was semi-intelligent, but it's kind of drifted off. It's wandered away.
That only happened to me.
It's wandered away from me, Tom. But, you know, I remember I had the opportunity, I had the honor to become a Canadian citizen. I arrived in this country as an immigrant kid, 13 years of age. I actually joined the Royal Canadian Navy Reserve, Naval Reserve, prior to becoming a citizen. And the first opportunity I had, I went and I swore allegiance to Canada. And it was an amazing moment. And other people who were there doing the same thing, there was a real sense of we belong in that room. Now, we never saw each other again, but for that moment, we were all one. We had accomplished what was incredibly important for us, and that was to swear allegiance to Canada, become Canadian citizens, and move forward. And it's not something you replace with a tick in a box. Ridiculous.
You know, Roy, that story you just told, ever since we ran that news copy, there are people who have stories exactly like that, absolutely heartfelt, beautiful stories. And you know what strikes you? There are millions of people in our country that have this real deep sense of Canada and flag, and bizarrely, none of them work in the Department of Immigration. It's unbelievable.
So, Tom, I recall during the earliest days of Canada's engagement in Afghanistan, that we didn't have any sort of sand-colored uniforms. And they needed it for the area that they were in. They sold them all off. So what they did was they went and got the jungle fatigues, the I don't know what else to call them.
Forest green.
Yeah. So they had all that. And then they had them, the Canadian soldiers were the only ones not wearing the uniforms that, you know, you need in that environment. Then they didn't have any rifles, as I recall. So they had the Canadian soldiers, one group of them anyway, all bunched together, and surrounding them, protecting them, holding rifles, were German troops. And the visual was kind of disturbing to me. Just made me think about, you know, other times in history. But then you went ahead on the 1st of March, my birthday, to remind us that in 1918, a Middlesex battalion, this is on Blacklock's reporter, in 1918, a Middlesex battalion was ordered to Siberia for winter combat, equipped with jet black fur coats and hats. We can't see you. We can't. Oh, my God. It's been going on for years.
It's an old military tradition. Belated happy birthday, by the way, Roy.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, that same regiment, the Middlesex Regiment, in the Korean War, dispatched a battalion from Hong Kong to the cold mountains of Korea in their shorts and light tropical shirts. Not for long, but just enough for it to be really extremely uncomfortable for several weeks who were wearing shorts in the snows of the mountains of Korea. So it is a long and rich military tradition.
Yeah. Well, I can share this with you. When I was in the Navy and we would have parades, we would always seem to find ourselves behind the Black Watch. And we had the bell-bottom pants. And they would give us the work is over verbally. And they were wearing kilts. And it was usually settled behind the armory about 2 hours later. And then we'd all go and drink beers together. But it did get a little tense at times. Oh, my goodness, the stories we remember. The great stories. What's this about? Here we are, March 3rd, Blacklock's reporter. Thousands of foreigners flagged as security risks, received Immigration Department permits anyway. Auditors disclosed. What's the story here?
It's odd, isn't it? The Canada Border Services Agency has a job, and their job is to screen border crossers to make sure they're safe. It's actually a legal requirement. Well, what does that mean, safe? Well, they are looking for people. I'm reading from the section of the Immigration and Refugee Act, right? They're looking for suspicions of espionage, subversion, terrorism, danger to the security of Canada, war crimes, or membership in a gang. That sounds serious. And in thousands of cases, the customs and immigration officers would report up. They say, we're flagging this. This is security questions. You want to check this out. And in almost half the cases, and this is thousands and thousands, a total of about almost 4,000 border crossers who were flagged as security risks. The Department, our old friends, our flag lobbers and the Department of Immigration just stamped the permits and said, yeah, anyway, just keep them moving. Auditors uncovered this in a filing cabinet and said, are you kidding me? I'm paraphrasing them. Are you kidding me? The security screening costs $11 million a year, Roy. This was the whole point of the program. My favorite part, there were some findings of inconclusion, they said. And this was 14,000 cases. Inconclusive. What does that mean? Well, paperwork was missing, or the immigration officer saying something about this doesn't sound right. Flagged it as inconclusive. You had a 9 out of 10 chance of getting a permit from the Department of Immigration. I think we can say, you know, they're doing a hell of a job at the Department of Immigration. It's, you know, they're getting a real attaboy left and right.
Yeah, and then there's this one that I really like. This one, Monsieur Guilbeault, our what is he? He's the Environment Minister.
Minister of Environment.
That's right. Yeah, Minister of Environment, the man who climbed the outside of the CN Tower,
indeed,
and received a mischief fine, and I think he had to do community service. Anyway, the Environment Minister, you write, his delegation to the last UN climate conference, which was to achieve the next step forward for climate ambition, They blew through how much money in transportation costs?
Oh, it was $622,000 in airfare, Roy.
First of all, how do you run up $622,000 in airfare? I've been on an airplane and recently.
Yeah, but Roy, in fairness, you did not travel with 265 of your closest friends. But
that's
Stephen
Kubo
did. Yeah. So this is the thing about climate change. You can't just do that on the phone, right? You can't call that in. And it was after spending two-thirds of a million where he did conclude, I'm quoting him, climate change can no longer be considered a future threat. It's today, it's happening, it's now.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.